I'd like to call this meeting to order for the Reedley City Council for Tuesday, November 8th, voting day at 7 o'clock. I hope you all voted before you came. We'll have the invocation by my pastor, Jeff Whelan, from the Reedley MB Church, and we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilwoman Anita Betancourt. Would you all please rise with me?
Oh, sorry.
Well, it's a true honor to be here tonight. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but growing up, I grew up as a Buffalo Bills fan, and we had many, many years of struggle, but now we're doing great because our quarterback is from Reedley College, Josh Allen. And then I also want to thank you for participating in our U.S. government, and we have the great privilege of freedom and democracy. I want to thank our U.S. military. So I got to meet Matthew. Something that we have in common is not only were we in the United States Army, but we were also stationed in the same place in the Iraq War. And that's Ramadi, Iraq. That was the key of the insurgency where the insurgency was operating. So I was a U.S. Army chaplain, responsible for 600 U.S. troops. Four of my soldiers were killed, but it could have been a lot worse. And we had so many people praying for us. So that's what I want to do. But I just never take these opportunities for granted, because it's the sacrifice of the American military that enables us to have this democracy and freedom. And I'm so glad you're a part of it. So thank you. Let me pray for us. God, I'm so grateful and so honored to be here tonight. Thank you for each one that's here and the different roles that they participate in and contribute to this wonderful city. I thank you for our police department. I'm so grateful for our police. And would you encourage them and help us as a city to be outstanding and thanking them and building them up and encouraging them and praying for them. So we're so grateful for our police. We're so grateful for our fire department and all those here tonight from the fire department. And we thank you, Lord, for the council and for the mayor and all those that work for the city on the staff. Bless each of them. Give them all wisdom as they have difficult decisions to make. We thank you that we get to be a part of this wonderful city in this great country where there's freedom and democracy. Help us never to take these things for granted. So we commit all of this to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have the roll call?
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Byers.
Here.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Here.
Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor Fast.
Here. We have the agenda approval. Are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening, City Manager?
Yes, Mayor. Tonight we have a unique item for our council to pursue. It is not on this agenda specifically because of the way we need to do this. Very last minute came to our attention that we have an opportunity to apply for a roughly $3 million grant through the regional ATP process. Unfortunately, there is no council meeting between now and the grant application deadline to have council's approval on a resolution that's required. So before you tonight is a special meeting agenda with one item on it. And so what we will do is roll through the entire regular meeting. We will adjourn the regular meeting. We will enter into the special meeting, do a roll call, do the one item, adjourn that meeting. So that will be after our regular meeting. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Any other additions or corrections? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Call for a question.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Byers.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Okay, we have a presentation this evening. Chief Isaac, introduction of new code enforcement officers for our fire department.
Yeah, good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. It's Jerry Isaac, Fire Chief, and it's a pleasure for me to be here tonight to introduce two outstanding individuals who have joined our Reedley team. First of all, I'd like to bring up Derek Martinez. Derek Martinez was hired to fill the vacant position of part-time life safety code officer. Derek grew up in Sanger and attended schools there. We won't hold that against him. We like Sanger people. He's had a varied work history in the past, and his most recent work was a law enforcement officer with the California Department of Corrections, where he worked at the San Luis Obispo CMC facility. Derek portrays himself in a very cool and calm manner, and he's a great fit for the city of Reedley, and he really knows how to deal with people. So, and that's a good thing when you're doing some code enforcement in town. He enjoys Reedley and has expressed a desire to keep Reedley safe and attractive in his code enforcement efforts. And he lives here in Reedley with his wife, Rebecca, and four children. They're all girls. See, Charlotte is 8, Carmella is 5, and Madeline is 4, and Chloe is 1. So he's got his hands full at home. And when he's not tending to his fatherly duties, Derek does have a degree in visual communications. So he likes to dabble in the arts a little bit. So he's a very talented individual. And so please welcome Derek Martinez as our new part-time code enforcement officer. Would you like to say a few words?
Yeah. I would just like to say thank you very much for this awesome opportunity to work for the city. Not only that, with my time living here, it's just an amazing opportunity to be working with not only the departments, the city itself, and see how everything works. And getting the feel of that's really amazing, seeing how the real business gets done in this town. And how we sustain such a beautiful town, you know. And I'm just very happy to be a part of that and to continue to build our community up even more. So thank you for that awesome opportunity. And again, it's great meeting everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, Derek will be mostly out on the weekends. So that's when you'll see him out and about. Next, I'd like to bring up Jesselyn Harper. Jesselyn was hired to fill our full-time vacant position that Gavino Barrera left us with. So Jesselyn grew up in Squaw Valley and attended the mountain schools up in that area. And she comes to us with experience as a permit technician with the city of Sanger. She's worked in the code enforcement division with the city of Fresno under Rodney Horton, our community development director. So, Rodney, thank you for the tip. And most recently, she worked for an independent company that provided code enforcement services for the city of Los Banos. So she's got a lot of experience in code. She's also a certified code officer through CASIO, which is a California Association of Code Enforcement Officers. There's a certification program for that, and she's attained that. She's very busy with continuing her education. She's currently enrolled in a ICC certification, which is the International Code Council for Housing and Property Maintenance Issues, and will soon be entering into a bachelor's program for public administration and planning, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
great.
Very busy individual. She resides in Sanger, which is okay, with her 11-year-old son who's with her tonight, Jared.
Hi, Jared.
Her hobbies include instructing karate, and she is a certified black belt in the subject. So
we don't want to mess with her.
With that, please welcome Jesselyn Harper.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come in tonight and meet you all in person. You might see me running in and out of the building everywhere since code enforcement works with every single department in the city. I also want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to come and work at a city that actually understands code enforcement understands how useful of a tool it is, and I'm excited to actually come and put my education and experience to work for you guys. I'm really happy with the city of Reedley and especially with the residents here. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council. And as I've got to know them, I call them the dynamic duo. So.
Well, I'm going to chime in just real quickly to say that these two have impressed me incredibly. Code enforcement, I've always said there's two really tough positions in the city, code enforcement and dispatch, 911, because it's tough to go onto somebody's property and tell them what they're doing wrong on their own private property. Jesselyn and Derek have hit the ground running. And in fact, I want to share with you, we have a unique situation happening with a single mom in a home that is falling apart right now. Instead of simply citing her, Jesselyn has taken it upon herself to find some loan opportunities to fix the home up and is really guiding this homeowner through the process. And I think that's really the first time we've seen code just have such empathy. And so I'm very impressed, and I'm absolutely impressed with how Jesselyn and Derek have worked with our new building official, Jeremy, as well. So I'm excited for the future of code enforcement for us.
Thank you. I, as mayor, just want to say welcome, and we have a great staff of employees from the top, our city, to the bottom. And I think you'll find that out as you work with us over the next couple of years. And I hope you'll have both of you will have a good tenure here. We really appreciate you coming. Thank you. Okay, public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Would you please come up to our microphone and give us your name and address for a record, and then share what you would like?
My name is Mark Luzamia. My business is at 1117 G Street, downtown Reedley. Madam Mayor, Council members, I'm coming to you today as a downtown building and business owner to address the continued use of the parklet that's located at 1115 G Street in front of Street Destinations Candy Store. The parklets were very helpful to local restaurants during the COVID pandemic. I was very supportive of their use. However, there's no longer a need for the parklets, and there's no longer state or county indoor dining restrictions. So additional outdoor seating is no longer needed as an option for restaurant owners. Additionally, the blind spots created by the parklets have been and continue to be safety concerns for drivers and pedestrians. In fact, there was a recent automobile accident at the parklet in front of my office, or adjacent to my office. My business and my tenants' business continue to have 1 3/4 parking spaces for both of our businesses. The 3/4 parking space is a result of the parklet partially jetting into an adjacent parking space that's located directly in front of my business. This has caused undue hardship on my tenant's business, which is a bona fide restaurant that didn't request a parklet. Meanwhile, the candy store patrons use the scarce available parking and then rarely also use the parklet. This is very unfair, and it's been tolerated, however, for the last year and a half. As I mentioned, the parklet located next door to my business is rarely used. I would challenge any of you to go there any time of the day, and you'll probably find it empty. Downtown parking will become even more scarce with the addition of Odd's Bodkins on the corner of the same block as my business, my tenant's restaurant, and the candy store. I respectfully request that the City Council consider a vote sometime soon for the removal of the parklet located at 1115 G Street in front of the Sweet Destinations candy store, not restaurant. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comment. I appreciate that. there any other public comment this evening? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Items are considered routine and a recommended action for each item is included and will be voted upon as one item. If a council member has questions, requests additional information, or wishes to comment on an item, the vote should not be taken until after questions have been addressed or comments made, and the public has had an opportunity to comment on the consent agenda items. If a council member wishes to have an item considered individually or change the recommended action, then the item should be removed and acted upon as a separate item. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member like to remove an item from our consent calendar? I'd like to remove item 4, and I'd like to remove item 9 to be voted on separately, please. Is there any public comment on any of the other items? Items 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 10? Is there any public comment on any of those? Okay. Thank you. So we'll go to item 4 to approve the mayor's nomination to fill 3 vacancies on the airport commission. As a part of your packet, you'll see that there were 3 people on the consent calendar to be approved. And there's one gentleman that's here this evening. Would you like to come and say hi and speak for just a minute?
Sure.
This is Butch Agrifoglio, and he's one of my nominees for the airport commission.
Well, I'll keep this short and sweet. She's already said who I am. I've been a resident in this, actually, on Franklin, an American, since 1966 or so. I'm a private pilot, own an aircraft. I'm also an aircraft mechanic. Two, three years ago, I started being one of the commissioners for the airport commission. My goal is to enhance the airport, to make it more usable than it is now. I believe it's a very underused airport in terms of maintenance, pilot training, aircraft coming in and out. It's a really nice airport. It has a lot of nice features, and I just want to do my best to see that it gets better and better. Mm-hmm. And plus, I live within a stone throw of it anyhow. So that's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Butch. And the other two people that I recommended were Carl Smith and Joseph Oldham. Is there any questions from the council? Mr. Agrifoglio, or anything on that item? Okay, we'll move to item 9. And I lost my place. Hold on. Do you have an agenda I could use? Sorry. Okay. I don't know where it went. Where my page went. Thank you. Okay, item 9. So we're going to vote on these items. Items 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10 first, and then we'll speak about item 9. So entertainment of motion.
So moved.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Byers.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Okay, I asked to pull item 9. I spoke with councilman this afternoon about the appropriation of the $300, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Maybe a month or two ago, I did a kind of invited the public to come out for coffee with me. Downtown, there's about 12 to 15 people showed up. We had a good chat on a Saturday morning.
I voiced a desire to do a kind of meet, to be more in the actual neighborhood and not just downtown. And I was happy that there was a kind of a neighborhood champion, Darlene Taves, that has done something like this before. She's done it 5 times before, hosting it right in front of her home, which is the intention of this here, the community night out in the same spot in Hawthorne Heights area. This Thursday, with an intention of kind of being out there in the public, giving our residents an opportunity to be in front of me, to chat, to talk about the parklets, to talk about everything under the sun. I asked both chiefs to come out as well, and so I believe they're going to come out, as well as Sequoia Safety Council on Thursday evening, unless it rains. Hopefully it doesn't rain, but I don't think we're going to do it rain or shine. But anyhow, the money I asked was, and so kind of enticing our public, so to speak, to get to come out and bring their families as well. The money is intended to feed them hot dogs and hamburgers.
So about how many people are you thinking?
60 to 80 people.
Is it going to cost $300?
That's the estimate. Well, a little under that. That's the ceiling, yes.
Well, I think it's good that you're doing a neighborhood meeting. I'm having an issue with the appropriating of city funds to pay for it, because we have a lot of neighborhood groups that meet, and I know in our area, I usually buy the food, or I tell everybody this is how much it's going to be, and everybody, you know, gives a little bit to make it happen. So I would like to make, I don't know, is there any other comment from any of the other council on this?
This item here, the only thing I'm concerned about, if a person comes in and they're going to do a neighborhood watch program, will this information be given to them that there's money available if they desire to apply for it?
No, sir, I don't believe we would necessarily just tell somebody that we've done this in a neighborhood meeting. I think this is kind of a unique situation. Normally, the city would do community night out at the end of summer is usually when we do those, right? And so normally we're doing multiple block parties at the same time through neighborhood night out. Because of COVID and because our coordinator was having a medical issue during the time, we did not hold a neighborhood night out for the last, I think, 2 to 3 years. And so this particular neighborhood has been very active in those neighborhood nights out, and specifically requested one of Councilmember Tuttle. So this is somewhat of a unique situation where the neighborhood itself had reached out wanting to do something that we normally would have done, and now because it's a little later in the year, it's just this singular one rather than a citywide thing. So.
Yeah. Well, I know that the neighborhood of programs has kind of slowed down quite a bit. Not like they used to be in a few years ago. Mm-hmm. When it started, you had a lot of gatherings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, there are very few that takes place. And if it attracts people, then I'm for it. Okay. But I know somebody's going to come back and say, if that person did it, why can't we? Mm-hmm.
That's probably really my concern. I mean, a one-time deal, yeah, okay, but we're kind of setting a precedent, and that's my concern.
I know when we used to have potluck. Mm-hmm. It was like everybody brought something. Mm-hmm.
Do we pay? Oh.
Is that on now?
Yeah,
I thought that
it
was
is.
Off. Do we pay anything for the nights out? Do we subsidize the parties?
We do not subsidize directly in this manner, and in a certain respect, I am curious to see whether this does pull out more people. So I am sort of viewing this as almost a pilot to see if this gets more people out, and it could be something that we want to do if we find that it does pull a lot of people out. We don't normally do that. What we do is McGruff the crime dog, we have fire trucks, we have police vehicles, we usually have the ambulance, Sequoia Safety. We do have staff attending, so really we cover soft costs, so to speak, mm-hmm. but hard costs mm-hmm. like reimbursing for food, we have not yet done. it may be that it's something that the council does want to pursue if we find that a lot of people do come out when they're enticed with some free food, certainly.
Okay, is there any public comment on this item?
Well, I've seen that.
Can I have you come up to the microphone, please? Our meeting's being recorded. And it is also online, and unless we speak in the microphones, they can't hear us.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think that would be a positive thing, and I go back to the fly-ins we have, where we've had all the food has been, well, at least I remember recall from past history, that the food has been free to the people coming in, and then they get free airplane rides, and they get huge turnouts. So this might help out the city of Reedley to see that the city is willing to come together and provide these little this little party, so to speak, and help promote the image of the city.
Can I ask, Councilman Tuttle? Tell me what the point is of having them all gathered together. What are the things that you hope to accomplish?
Sure. For one, being available, so they could, we could talk, we could communicate about stuff going on with the city, kind of being in front of a councilman. That's probably one of the main ones. Yeah.
Okay. Have they had specific questions that you weren't able to answer individually? Are you looking for a wider audience so that everybody's on the same page? Are they asking specific questions? Are they asking any specific questions of you? What I'm concerned about is, are they going to be asking you about the new neighborhoods that are going in nearby?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. I thought that was the issue that you might have.
Not 100% clear, Suzanne, but yeah. I'd hope that they would ask me maybe questions about like new neighborhoods going in, mm-hmm. and really anything else. There's no like one issue or question, I guess, if that's what you're asking.
We did have several people give public comments on one of the first
meetings. A couple weeks ago.
And I thought maybe that was the reason why you were...
Yeah, no, that's not the motivation.
Okay.
No. I guess I would add that I think one of the main concerns may be the precedents that it could set, right, mm-hmm. for future, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking about that, I think I challenge you to maybe think on the other side of that, that perhaps that precedence could be a positive thing in a sense. Not that we do something like this so often that perhaps that small cost kind of elevates, but say on Thursday we get 60 to 80 people or even more to come out in that little neighborhood. It could be something positive that we could all kind of build off of in our kind of own neighborhoods. I would wager to believe that I think all five of us would agree that the more that our neighborhoods come out and mm-hmm. actually get together, mm-hmm. maybe break bread together, mm-hmm. Would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. I understand the other strategies, perhaps like a potluck would be a good idea as well. Mm-hmm. This is my first kind of go at something like this in the actual neighborhood. Done other stuff at businesses, but this is the first time kind of in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so my motivation is literally to get 1,000 people out there if I could. And if I could help entice that just a little bit more by throwing something at them, so to speak, then I'll do that.
Well, I think it's, I'm not against the idea. To me, the first thing when my kids have moved into new neighborhoods is go meet your neighbors. And I've always encouraged them to do that. And I know within probably 3 blocks of my house, almost every door, I have met somebody from that house. And to me, that's really important because it's safety for me and it's safety for my neighbors. If they need help, they can come to me and ask. And I think that's real important. And I don't want to discourage you in having a meeting. I'm just concerned about, they gave them $300, so we can have a party for $300 too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that concerns me because our funds are limited, and I'm a little bit concerned about that. So having a potluck or having everybody put in something I think is a great idea, but I have a problem with paying, with the city paying the bill.
Do we have a budget for that? Or where would it come from?
No, we don't have a budget for this specifically, although if this is something that we do and that works, we certainly could pursue having a budget item in the city's budget for it. The reason this is before you tonight, and this is a unique item, as you know, we've not had a discussion like this before about something, but the council does have an approved travel and expense reimbursement policy, and that does allow council members to spend certain dollars when they're traveling or taking dignitaries out to lunch or something like that, but all other expenses must be pre-approved by the council, and that is why this item is coming before you tonight. It's to follow our own council protocols and policies that are in place. So there has been no budget set aside for it, but we could in the future create a budget for something like this for our community night outs, etc. So I guess I am interested to see if this does entice people out, and if it does, I think it might make sense for us to actually allocate some dollars to our community night outs that we do throughout the city, because as Mr. Selena pointed out, that's been waning over the years, and through the pandemic where we had none at all, we have neighbors who have not gotten out into their own neighborhoods. Mm. So this could be something we want to pursue in the future.
I think if we can do a pilot program, start one, and review it over a period of time, and if it's a plus to the city, I would come back and make it a permanent thing. My neighborhood used to have a neighborhood watch, and it's very, very effective. Mm-hmm. But it stopped, and it's been, 2-3 years now. Mm-hmm. And I can see the difference now. There's mm-hmm. problems that are occurring in my neighborhood that wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. People in the past, when the neighborhood watch program, they would take it upon themselves to make a phone call to the police department or some department and bring up what was the problem that they're having. And those problems were taken care of. Mm-hmm. So I think a pilot program would be a great thing for us to do.
I would let this item go ahead and go through only because it's already been planned. But I wouldn't want to see something like this in a budget on a regular basis, because I think potlucks are a lot better. And if we do have, and I think with the neighborhood watch, we had the COVID, and there's been so many things, and everybody was scared to even come out there for a while, even mm-hmm. to the grocery store or anything. So, but I think if we, beginning with this, if we start to work at it again and just light the fire up again, I think we can do it again. We've done it before, and I think we could do it again. But I wouldn't want to see it put in a budget where we have money to be feeding. I love potlucks. And people are good about potlucks. They like to bring their favorite dishes. So I would go along with this only because it's already been planned. But other than that, I would like to go back to the regular and start it up again and get it going again. And it'll take a while, but like Ray said, it used to be really good, but then the COVID came, and then I'd like to do it that way.
Either way, if this we'll be going through with it on Thursday night. Even if it wasn't be approved tonight, I'll still go through. We'll still go through with it, and then perhaps on your point, Councilman Salino, something like this could. I think maybe perhaps one of your points was something like this could kind of jumpstart some like neighborhood get-togethers again, perhaps.
You never know if you don't try.
Right. Sure. I would also, and I hear you, Ms. Bancourt, the not wanting it as a regular budget item, but then I don't know. Thinking about it, I would say maybe we can consider just. Without thinking too much about it, using the same number and put $1,500 annually, perhaps, for something like this in each district. Just a thought, just to, that we could perhaps consider, if this goes through and turns out to be something positive that we'd want to follow through with. Sorry, Susan, you got something? Ms. Byers.
I think that Councilmember Betancourt made some good points, since you've already promised this, and we don't want to look like we're, you know, we want to be responsible with our budget, but we want them to encourage them as well. And I do still like the idea about potlucks, and you might mention that this is a special opportunity that the city is going to fund, but you know, we may not be able to do this again. Would you be willing to do potlucks? Sure. And things like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but since you've already, you know, made the commitment, I believe in what Anita has said, and
yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I made the commitment understanding that this would have to be approved, and so I with the possibility of it not, and so I committed to doing it either way, like I said. Okay. Also, it's a partial potluck, and so it's the kind of the main dish, I guess.
Okay.
The neighbors in the area, in the Hawthorne Heights area, also are bringing sides and drinks as well.
Okay.
So it's a partial potluck.
Okay. Any other comments from council members? Any comments from the public on this item? What is the council's pleasure?
I would support a pilot program. Get it started. If it helps, and then you can fizzle it away from the budget. But you're encouraging to come back with a neighborhood watch program, because those neighborhood watch programs is for the safety of your neighborhood. And we don't have that anymore. People are asking, when's it going to come back? I said, I don't know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Salina, was that a motion to approve then?
I would say I would move a motion to make it a pilot program.
Okay.
So you want it to be put in the budget?
Sure. To start off with, and then phase it out. If you can encourage the pilot programs to come back like they used to be.
So, but do you want to set a money aside for to put in the budget?
Just like Councilman Tuttle said. So
but we haven't. We have had programs in the past, but we haven't paid for the food. But here we're asking to pay for the food.
You know, set an amount, and that's it. In other words, you can set
okay.
up $300 from each district. Work out the program, see what we can come up with. If we can encourage the neighborhood programs to come back again like they were used to, then we're a step ahead of the ballgame.
Okay, so we're looking to approve $300 this time, and that's all. And we'll come back with some more discussion after, I think, is what the plan is. Am I hearing correctly?
What I'm understanding the motion to be is to set aside $1,500 in the budget, $300 per council district. Is that your motion, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Salino?
Exactly.
Okay.
Get it started somehow. We can argue, we can talk about the price all night long. If we just set a price tonight, then work with it as time goes on.
That changes the item.
Okay, so I'm hearing a motion for $1,500. So $300 for each district?
That's Councilman Tuttle.
No, he's asking for $300 just for one meeting.
Just for one meeting?
Let me interject real quick. I think I hear you, and I think maybe a lot of us do hear you too. But right now, how about we consider just the 300 for now for the meeting coming up,
right.
and then perhaps after that we could see how well it went, and then consider a further pilot program.
That's fine with me, as long as we get it going somehow.
The city attorney is reminding me that our agenda is specific to 300, and so a 1,500
okay.
maybe for a future agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be fine.
Okay, so you're making a motion to approve this?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Byers.
Yes, with the reservations that I stated.
We'll mark down a yes and then
yes
we'll
or no.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fass.
No. Okay. Moving on to item 11 is to introduce and waive the first reading of ordinance 2022-006, adoption of 2022 California Building and Standards Code, and schedule a public hearing to consider adoption of ordinance 2022-006. Yes.
Good evening again, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Jerry Isaac, Fire Chief, bringing a very exciting subject before you tonight, and that is the adoption of the California Building Codes. This is a routine item that we visit every 3 years as the California, I don't know which body it is, but California actually adopts the new building code standards every July 1st. And then we have until January 1st to adopt those codes. So every 3 years, the building codes expire when the new code is adopted by the state, and then the council needs to adopt the new codes. Building codes are actually developed and updated based on, it's kind of sad, but history of disasters, tragedies, and misfortunes. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have these codes. The council has until January 1st to adopt the codes along with local amendments. Local amendments can be made to the state code as long as the building standards are increased or are stricter than the minimum level of standards in the code. So we do have several local amendments, and these are actually being carried over from previous code adoption cycles. And one of them is the automatic sprinkler amendment, which changes the code here locally, requiring automatic fire sprinkler suppression systems in buildings 5,000 square feet and larger. This amendment has been in effect for the last 18 years, or the last six code cycles. The state code actually requires sprinklers for buildings 12,000 square feet and larger. So our amendment is more restrictive. Sprinklers reduce the impact of fires. Compared to reported fires in properties with no sprinklers, the civilian fire death and injury rates per fire were 89% and 27% lower, respectively. The rate of firefighter injuries per fire was 60% lower. And this is in the period between 2015 and 2019. And in that period also, fires in sprinkled properties killed an average of 36 people per year, and fires in properties that were not sprinkled caused an average of 2,816 civilian deaths per year. So you can see the benefit of fire sprinklers, and they're proven to save lives and preserve property. And the other factor is that it's hot here. Summertime conditions are conducive to the spread of fire, and the heat takes a toll on our firefighters. So having a more restrictive sprinkler ordinance makes sense for the overall safety of our community. And attached to the ordinance is exhibits 1 and 2, which include climatic data that satisfies the findings and conditions that we submit to the state, which supports and justifies the code amendment. There's a couple amendments in regards to an appeals board. The current state code states that local jurisdictions may establish a local appeals board. The appeals board hears and decides appeals of orders, decisions, and determinations made by the local enforcing agency. The amendment that is proposed and that we've carried over states that the city shall establish an appeals board, which will be the governing body of the city, which is you folks. And it gives local control to any appeals at the local level instead of, let's say, at the county level. So everything stays here in-house if there's an issue. And in my recollection over the last, 18 years or so, we've never had an appeal in regards to a building code issue. So, but it gives us that local ability to control where it takes place. So all of these amendments are being carried over from previous code adoption cycles. So this basically concludes my report, and staff recommends that the City Council approve the introduction and waive the first reading of Ordinance 2022-006, adopting the subject codes, and schedule a public hearing on December 8th, 2022, to consider adoption of the ordinance. And the building official is here tonight if you have any specific questions about anything in the new codes. And I'll try to answer any questions if you have them as well.
Jerry, I just have a question. I know we've had the 5,000 square feet for a while instead of the 12,000 as far as sprinklers. Is there, have there been any people coming in to do buildings that have said, how come yours is only 5 when the state is 12?
Well, typically folks that are building large commercial buildings understand the need for sprinklers. It's the industry, you know, pushes that out anyway. And to my knowledge, I haven't been questioned about it. I don't know if the building department or community development's been questioned about it, you know, in the last 10 years. It's kind of a given. It's just like, you know, when you build a new house now, you have to have residential sprinklers installed. It's, you know, you have to do it. Mm-hmm. That's required. Mm-hmm. So I think the understanding is that they do prevent death and protect property. That's the main thing, and it gets kind of warm here, and mm-hmm. and in firefighting efforts, it's very important. We've gone to actual structure fires, like in one of the strip malls over by Town and Country Market. One of the small establishments there, I think it was a restaurant, and we got called out for a structure fire in that facility, and luckily, the sprinkler was on and working and suppressed the fire enough for us to go in and take care of business without any other problems. Mm. So,
yeah, I do want to address that because we do quite frequently deal with developers, et cetera. And in my 11 years here, I don't recall anyone ever having an issue with the 5,000 versus 12,000. But what I would tell the public and the council is here in Reedley, as you know, we have a 125-year-old volunteer fire force. We have one of the few remaining volunteer fire forces in the state of California. What that means is when the ISO comes to give us our ISO rating, and that impacts property rates, insurance rates for both commercial and residential, we have the lowest ISO rating that a volunteer fire force can get. And I'm going to look real quick for an acknowledgement that I just said that.
It's a 3.
Correctly. It's a 3, yes. The lowest. One of the reasons that we're able to get such a low rate as a volunteer fire department is because we have this sort of ordinance in place. So if this were to go back to the 12, it's very possible that our ISO rating could rise because we have done things like this that really help to lower that ISO rating. So we're very proud of the ISO rating that we have. When they come in, we wait and we anticipate that letter, and when we see the 3, we think, yay. And I would hate for that to move up to a 4 and a 5, something like that, because that will impact insurance rates community-wide.
I just appreciate everything that the fire department does, and also the safety of our fire. You know, we've been very fortunate that nothing that bad has happened, and they're all volunteer. They're volunteering to do this, and so you know, it's going to help protect them a little bit more in that way by keeping.
Yeah, we've codes like you said, the safety is a high importance to us. We believe in using technology to our advantage. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our last line of duty death was 50 years ago, December. Hmm. So that was Elmer Madsen, if you all remember him. Mm-hmm. But and then prior to that, it was back in 1917 we had one. Mm-hmm. But that's
okay. Any other questions from our council? Any questions from the public on this item? Seeing none, what is the council's?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Councilmember Byers.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Okay, item 12, to adopt resolution number 2022-088, amending the fiscal year 2022-23 adopted budget to reallocate $100,000 in coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 for initial planning and design work associated with a future City Hall facility.
And I'll take that, Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'll start the item and then I will turn it over to Paul if you have some specific questions. As you may recall, let me actually back up. As you may recall, we used to have a Royal Valley building out back. The city had purchased that in anticipation of expanding City Hall facilities and Police Department facilities. We did demolish the building eventually and turned most of it into a much-needed parking lot. And then in anticipation of growing the facility, we have held a footprint, a gravel footprint that you see out there in anticipation of growing. When this City Hall facility was built originally in the 60s, our population in the city of Reedley was roughly 5,600 people. We did a remodel in the late 90s. Our population at that time was 13,000 people. Our population now, according to the last census, is roughly 26,000 people. And with more people comes more staff that needs to serve the public. Right now, what we're finding is we are busting at the seams, and particularly in the police department, where, as you know, we were even forced to bring in a modular unit that now houses staff out there in a training room. That was not anticipated to be a permanent structure there on G Street. The idea, as we had talked to council a year or two ago, was that we would put aside $1 million in the federal grant, the ARPA dollars that we received, to potentially purchase the courthouse here that is mostly vacant. The Fresno County Ag Commissioner Department is out of that courthouse. The state owns the courthouse. Actually, it owns about 90% of the courthouse. The county owns 10%. And they were going to surplus, and as you know, we were working with the state to purchase that and use that as a City Hall annex. It ends up the county would like to purchase that from the state instead, and so we went back to square one on looking for annex facility. So at this point in time, what we would like to do is take $100,000 of that million that was allocated for purchasing of the courthouse and begin working with an architect and a designer to potentially sketch out, not potentially, to sketch out and create plans for an additional facility behind the police department in that gravel footprint area. Our initial goal was to potentially build a new police department, but in looking at the specialized facilities that we currently have, like the Sallyport, the jail, the dispatch, the evidence, the locker rooms, it would be much easier to move the administrative functions that are simply offices, like my office, finance, HR, utility billing, much easier to build a building because all we need is offices. We don't need specialized facilities. So that's what we're going to be looking at with a designer and an architect. The dollars are already in hand from the federal government, as you know, grant dollars. And we believe $100,000 can get us very far in the initial planning, design, and building plans. Our goal is we would take those plans then to our senators and assembly people and look for grants to build a new building. So a building itself is in the future, but we'd like to start with the planning phase now. Mm-hmm. And one of the considerations we were making is this City Hall or City Council chambers was built way back when our population was not very big. And as you have seen, when we have some items that bring people out, we're jam-packed for our public. You'll recall when we did our Mid-Valley outsourcing that we had people that had to wait outside and could not participate in our public process the way we'd like them to because our facility was built when our population was very small. So we are also talking about potentially building a council chambers in the new space and doing much like Kings Canyon has done where their boardroom doubles as meeting space during the day and they can partition it off. So multi-purposes, multi-uses. We are probably going to be looking at a two-story building to build. And initially I was very much against that because I thought elevators would be very expensive. And Paul provided some data points to me that it made me recognize that elevators are not as expensive as they used to be. So we would be looking at a two-story facility in anticipation of a building that would last us the next 30 or 40 years.
I have a question. The first thing I thought about too was that space, because it's not a very big space. Mm-hmm. And I know that this building intentionally was supposed to be two-story building.
Two-story.
That, but then because of the code, it got changed. So are we going to build it fast enough over there so that they won't change the code? And then we're gonna...
So I will tell you that I think the folks that designed this City Hall were visionary in terms of thinking, mm-hmm. let's design it in such a way that the foundation could support two stories and eventually mm-hmm. we'll build a second story on top. Mm-hmm. What they didn't anticipate was California. Mm-hmm. And so building codes have changed, and to put a second story on this would require rehab of this existing building. So they had good vision. It just got thwarted by politics and building codes. Sorry, Jeremy. So what I would really suggest we do is to build the entire building and hold empty space in the new building rather than wait and try to build something additional afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's easier and cheaper to build the whole building at one time. Okay. Yeah.
Any other questions from the council?
Is that the 14920 square foot footprint over here?
That's the lot that takes into account the police storage facility that was built around the time of the parking lot. So the actual buildable square footage is about 9,600 square feet. So that's not assuming two stories. So based on our initial analysis, there's plenty of buildable area, especially in light of we don't have to really factor in too much parking because we already have the employee parking in that lot, and then we're planning on maybe doing some parking on the street if the project is approved to move forward.
So it's not anticipated additional parking needed?
No, and in fact, the modular unit that I mentioned would be removed, the foundation mm-hmm. removed, and that would go back to being a parking lot as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any public comment on this item? Any more comments, Paul, that you had?
The city manager talked about, this is a multi-phase process. It's going to take quite a bit of time to get through this. Just the first initial step to start the exploratory process. There's going to be a financing package, most likely absent a huge state windfall grant, that sort of thing, because this is a generational type facility. And what I mean by that is the last time the wastewater treatment plant was expanded, it was expanded for the next generation. And so the financing matched the service life of the expansion. So there would probably have to be some type of a financing package for maybe a partial cost, at least, if not maybe a majority of the cost. But we'll be looking at trying to leverage as many funding sources as possible. And then there's some ideas to try to keep the costs as low as possible by maybe using some existing designs off the shelf instead of starting fresh and limiting the hours of the architect and just all those types of things that we're looking at keeping those costs as minimal as possible.
That's great. Yep. Paul, what I hear you saying is you anticipate it being pretty expensive.
Well, I think anytime you do anything in California, it's very expensive. It's a prevailing wage project, which will add 30-40% on top of normal construction costs. So all of this is things that we're factoring in, and we're being very sober minded about keeping the cost manageable to where it's not eating up a huge chunk of the city budget going forward. But it is appropriate to have financing in place. Many cities do it this way. Otherwise, you'll be waiting a long time to pay cash, because I think the mayor made a point maybe last meeting or two meetings ago that with inflation, the longer we sit on a project without doing something, it's just going to keep getting more expensive.
It'll be interesting to see how much it costs when this thing comes back.
Absolutely.
I was thinking this, great, $1 million should go far, but
no.
Maybe not.
No.
How long would like a survey or like this take? 6 months, something like that, before we get a plan back?
We've been talking with the school district, and there's a roundabout way to your answer, and I apologize, Mr. Tuttle, but I think it's important for the council to know. The school district, as you know, has torn down the old Walters building and is building a student support center. We have met with that architect because the idea was, could we piggyback on some of their plans for their building and also make sure that the two buildings, since they will be close to one another, are aesthetically complementary. We really like their idea for the student support center, and working with that architect, we think we can save some money. So my guess is plans or initial designs can be done within a few months, with plans then a few months down. We have the advantage of already owning the property, so property price is not going to be in that package that we have to finance. We own that property. And my thought process was, right now the state is still accepting earmark requests for funding for next year. So we definitely want to do this in a time frame where we can put it in earmark. What we've heard from the state is that their revenues are already starting to plummet, compared to what they thought would happen. So I don't anticipate after this having many earmark opportunities. Mm-hmm. So we want to get on the plans right away, which is why initially Paul brought this to me, and I said, no, I'm not ready to do this yet. And he reminded me, this may be the year to do it, at least the plans. That doesn't mean we have to build the building yet, but to have the plans ready means we can apply for grants and earmarks.
Mm. Yeah, so this is not going to be, you know, this is just the first time it's coming before the council. At some point, there's a preliminary site plan and floor plans and that sort of thing. All that comes back. And then it'll come back again for financing. It'll come back again for bids. It'll come back multiple times. So we have many opportunities to check ourselves.
One thing, city manager, that you mentioned to me when we talked is putting it out for grant applications. And in order to do that, we have to have some kind of preliminary plan and kind of a dollar amount of what we're looking at to be able to ask.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. Okay. Any other questions from the council? Any questions from the public on this item? Sorry. Okay, I'll take your motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Byers.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Okay, we have items 13 and 14 that are receive information and reports. And item 15, the brief reports of council members. And I'll start with Councilman Salino. I almost called you Mayor Salino.
I have none.
Okay, Councilwoman?
No, I just want to share that we went to an enrolling ceremony for the new judge.
Oh,
I'd never been to anything like that. And I took my husband. My husband doesn't like to go to anything that, you know, he just doesn't like to do the things. And he went, and oh, he was so impressed.
Mm.
He came home. But it was really, she's the first Hmong to be a judge here in the state of California, first woman. Uh-huh. And there was a lot of her family was there. They're big families. They're like the Mexican people. They have a lot of families. Anyway, and it was very nice to see all the judges there. And her dad spoke. Her parents were refugees.
Oh.
Uh-huh. They came over. And to be able to really do the dream of becoming a judge. She was a single parent with, I think, two or three kids. And she went back to school, and she did it.
That's great.
Uh-huh. It was just really a nice ceremony. A lot of sheriffs around.
Oh,
there was people
sure.
at each door,
yeah.
and we had to go through the machine to get, you know, it was, yeah. But anyway, it was a really good and nice experience to see that. Never seen that before, so really enjoyed it. So
that's great that you could go to that. Councilwoman?
On behalf of the Friends of Reedley Library Book Club, I would like to ask if there's anybody that would be interested in becoming a member. They meet monthly, second Tuesday of every month. Their group is very small now, and they're very eager to meet new people and bring you aboard. The meetings are held in the library. The next one is going to be on Tuesday, November 15th. It's an hour long, 10:30 to 11:30. And the book that they will be discussing in this particular meeting will be Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. The books that they select are usually suggested by the members, and the members vote to see if this is one that they would like to have for that month. And it's a very interesting club. You get some very good perspectives. I've attended some meetings myself and really enjoyed it. Would like to have continued to be a member, but I worked for the government at the time and I was recalled to duty, so I couldn't attend the meetings. Those were at night. This one is in the morning, though, and I'm hoping that it's convenient for even some working people. But it's an invitation that I was asked, and I'm very happy to give it to you. There's an event coming up. There's going to be I really enjoy working with the Senior Center, and you'll hear me sing their praises all the time because they are very good at entertaining us and keeping us busy, making us happy, and communicating with each other. And this is what we need. I'm a senior too. And they're going to have a Thanksgiving luncheon next week. And I believe that's on, I can't remember what day it's on, Tuesday or Wednesday. But they're all sold out. I was asked to make an announcement that there's going to be a senior center Christmas lunch on Tuesday, December 13th. And I believe they'll start taking reservations. This is for seniors. So if you have senior parents or grandparents or relatives, you know, please let them know about this. I didn't realize the activities that the senior center had. There's a variety of activities. You could be busy every day going to the senior center. Mm-hmm. And anyway, if I was going to tell you this, the senior Christmas lunch is free. And they will probably start taking reservations, I think, probably the first or second of December. So you'll get your reservations in quickly. It's going to be very good. I did go to the Christmas one last year, and I was blown away by the food that they gave us, the entertainment. Mm-hmm. It was lots of fun and a great way to start off your Christmas season. Also, as I said, that would be nice if you could read that book, too, for the book club. It's A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. So let's get into the Christmas mood and attend some of these events. Also, the Electrical Light Parade is coming pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I hope that we have a nice, even if it's rainy, I hope we have a nice event. We don't disparage the rain anymore, do we?
Mm-hmm. No. All right, thank you. Councilman Tuttle?
Last Friday, I was invited by our... So today's election day, but our kind of assuming incoming assemblyman, Devin Mathis, to an entity called the Fresno Workforce Development Board, presented a program that they got a $1.7 million grant a couple years ago to focus on wildland firefighters. Our assemblyman, he's a friend of mine. He's actually, he went to Reed High. We connected. He's a little bit younger than I am, but we both are veterans, and so that's one of the ways that we were able to connect. He invited me to be one of his guests as they presented. It started in Parlier at their new Workforce Development Board Center, and then it came to the Reed College. Coming to Reed, Patrick Turner on the Planning Commission was there as well, kind of representing the Fresno EOC. So when we got to Reed the College, Mayor Fast also met us there as well at Reed the College. Then there's other entities as well, including Reed the Fire. We had one of our engines and I think five of our volunteer firefighters out there assisting this program at Reed the College. Patrick Turner there representing Fresno EOC, Blake Consul with Fresno Workforce Development Board, Reed the Fire, Reed the College. It's a Cal Fire grant. There's probably other partners that I'm forgetting as well. One thing that that was, I think, such a unique and a big value add to our community and to the college is that partnership that brings that training here. There's not another facility that does that type of training at a college nearby anyways. And so it's a big pull to our community, which brings more students, brings more people to our town. It's such a great program, and even Robert, I know your boy. He's retiring. I think his intention actually to go to help instruct in the same program. Anyhow, it's a program that they got a big grant. They're kind of working off of it, but they have not just plans, but stuff still planned to where they're going to be able to continue the program and even further the program as well. It's a program that I've been partnered with as well over the past couple of years, and just to see the growth of that program is great. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a testament to the day and age that we're in with all the wildland fire and the demand of that. Mm-hmm. But right here in our own town, we are able to have the training to bring that workforce mm-hmm. to fight our wildfires. Anyways, it's such a great program and such a great value add to our community as well that so many people aren't aware. I believe it was in the summer or the spring that Blake actually came with a couple other guys and presented to us, mm-hmm. and that was about that same program, if you guys mm-hmm. remember the mm-hmm. video, right? Mm-hmm. Anyhow, a little bit about that program. It's 100% free to the participants. There's a couple phases that are in Fresno. There's a phase that's up in the mountains. Just one of the four phases is here in Reedley, where they actually do practical training behind the college with assistance from our fire department as well. But a couple of those phases that the students are able to do is also a paid phase as well. I'm sure there's requirements to be part of the program, but anyways, it'd be a great thing if we know somebody, a young man or woman that maybe needs a little bit of direction, because it's a great field to go into, but it's also a free field. I mean, there's so much money that they have that are able to train these students at our own college. Anyhow, Ruthie, remind me, the banner, veteran banners mm-hmm. Ceremony is when?
It'll be Monday, the 21st.
Of
November.
Okay, so that's coming up. So today's 8th. So yeah, we won't meet again. So our banners are coming down probably pretty soon.
Monday.
This coming Monday. Okay. Banners are coming down. It's probably like the 14th or something like that. And then our ceremony to give the banners back to the recipients is, say one more time.
November 21st.
November 21st at the community center again.
Community center,
is it? Okay. 6 p.m. community center to give those banners back, and again that program puts the banners up Memorial Day more or less mm-hmm. in May and comes down Veterans Day. So anyways, that's coming up. I'm hoping the pastor Whelan comes in and prays for us as well, especially since he's a veteran. And there's one more thing I remember though, but the Christmas tree is going up when?
Well, the Christmas tree lighting is December 1st.
Okay.
So it will be going up before December 1st.
Okay. Yes. December 1st. Yes. Christmas tree lighting, December 1st evening.
Yes.
That's all I have, Mayor. Thanks.
Okay. Just to piggyback on your Friday at the Forestry Department at Reedley College, I was just really impressed of all the different agencies that are cooperating to train our students. And they're getting hands-on experience, and I know our fire department has been a part of that for quite a few years of the training, so that they get to actually use equipment and before they get on a fire and hurt themselves by doing something that they weren't trained to do. So I'm very thankful, and the group, there were a few of them that stayed and talked a little bit about where they were from and what brought them to Reedley, and it was very interesting to hear their stories and their excitement of being in a program where they're going to be able to help our community and help themselves too. So I was real excited to be a part of that. Also attended the Munchies ribbon cutting with the chamber over by the behind McDonald's. There's a little strip mall. Mm-hmm. There's a new place there called Munchies, and if you haven't been there, you got to try it out. They have horchata, which I'm not real fond of, but they had some really good ones. So just a suggestion. Need a place for a break. That's a good one. Also went to the EECU open house that they finally had over here at their new facility, and also attended the Council of Governments meeting that evening, so that was a busy day. Also attended the Fall Family Fun Night at the Reedley MB Church, and just want to say thank you to both fire and police chiefs for allowing the fire and police vehicles for kids to climb all over them and through them. The kids always enjoy those, and that was a fun evening. Also went to the Reedley College versus Fresno City football game on Saturday, which I was hoping we would win, but we lost. So we had to give the can back to Fresno City College again. So that's all that I have. City Manager?
Thank you, Mayor. A few things from me, and we do have a few staff with some updates. As you may recall, I used to hand you COVID numbers from a weekly COVID call that I would have with the public health department. Because COVID had declined, we had gone to monthly calls, and now we're at quarterly calls. We did have a quarterly call this past Monday, and in fact, the COVID numbers are very, very low, and that's a very good thing. Unfortunately, what is very high is RSV. In fact, the hospital administrator who's in our audience here, she and I had lunch together today, and we're talking about the fact that Valley Children's is completely full now. So it is a concern, RSV. Unfortunately, the other thing the public health department brought up, and it's like one thing after another, is Ebola. And so now we have the public health department is actually watching. There's an outbreak in Africa in a very specific region, and while it's in that region, the California Public Health Department is not going to put anything in place. However, if it leaves that region, there's a whole protocol that California intends to do. I'm hoping it looks nothing like the pandemic we've just been through, and I will definitely keep you apprised. Obviously, Ebola is even more dangerous, much more dangerous than COVID. So for right now, we're keeping an eye on it, but what we really need to focus in on is RSV and the flu at this point in time. So he did mention that Community Regional is and Clovis Community, they are over 100% capacity. His number was something like 125% capacity because of RSV and the flu. So the hospitals are definitely impacted, although not with COVID. So I'll keep you posted as those public health department calls happen. And they'll happen more frequently if something does pop up. Also, you will have received in your city email an emergency proclamation of the glassy-winged sharpshooter from the California Department of Food and Ag. It looks very official. It is very official. You do not need to forward this to anybody. You do not need to publicize this unless you wish to do so, because they have their own publicists that are doing that. But what has happened is, over the course of the past year, the glassy-winged sharpshooter has been found in orchards and fields around Reedley, Parlier, Trimmer, etc. It's very dangerous, particularly for grapes. It's actually can wipe out entire grape populations. So they have found it here. What this proclamation is telling you, because it's actually a 22-page proclamation, so I'll give you the Cliff Notes version, is that they're going to be spraying for it, particularly in the citrus fields, because apparently this glassy-winged sharpshooter likes to overwinter in citrus fields. There are roughly 3,400 houses, residences, and packing houses that will receive notification, because they'll be in direct, they'll be next to where locations will be sprayed. So you do not need to notify anyone. They will be notified directly. But I did want you to be aware of what that was, so you didn't have to read the whole 22 pages. Also, last weekend, weekend before last, there was a very large Kings River cleanup. Rotary, and actually the district of Rotary, not just Reedley Rotary, but the entire district, along with the EOC and other volunteers, went down to the Kings River and did a major cleanup. Multiple shopping carts, which has caused us, by the way, to look at our shopping cart ordinance, and so we will be bringing some amendments back to you. But they collected just oodles of trash, and so I want to thank Rotary and EOC. Patrick Turner, our planning commissioner, is a deputy director of EOC, so he was able to get some resources for that. So a wonderful cleanup for us.
Some of those resources were the firefighters from the college.
Yes, they were.
He also said that they did a path this last week down along the Otani property.
Yes, Mr. Otani gave us permission to go in and create some fire break trails for easier access for our firefighters down to the river. So they aren't designed to be walking trails like our Reedley Parkway path, but they are trails to access down there. Very good. And then you may recall the last couple of council meetings, we have had some neighbors come from Frankwood and Lilac to talk about a potential development that may occur behind them. Rodney tonight has set up a neighborhood community meeting that occurred right before our council meeting. Was well attended, I thought, and so I want to thank Rodney for jumping on that so that the neighbors knew that we had heard them. We were able to explain to them why council wasn't able to talk with them. I want to remind the council, if you're approached about this development, that you sit as a quasi-judicial body that will ultimately hear this development, so you really are not allowed under California law to yet express an opinion. I don't know that they will approach you. I think we had a wonderful neighborhood meeting, and we'll be approaching the developer with some comments. But I just wanted you to be aware that we were communicating with these neighbors so that they felt somebody was hearing them. So we do have some staff with some updates.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Just as a reminder, Thursday is our annual Police Department Awards ceremony. So if you can be there, that'd be great. It's an opportunity for us to recognize the work that our police officers and staff at the police department have done over the past year. So look forward to seeing you. One other thing I just wanted to update you on is, if you recall, at our last at the beginning of the budget, I made a presentation regarding some flock cameras, the cameras that we were going to be putting up at intersections that are license plate readers. Mm-hmm. This was designed as a pilot program for 1 year. The six cameras have been installed. As a matter of fact, the last three cameras were installed yesterday. And just in a short week and a half, these have proven to be very valuable. We have recovered three stolen vehicles with the value of recovery of about $70,000. Within 2 hours of the first camera being installed, this was a couple of weeks ago on a Monday, within 2 hours, a vehicle passed through there that was wanted out of Tulare County for a shooting that they had. And we were able to stop that vehicle. Tulare County came and took possession of that vehicle as evidence in a shooting that they had in Tulare County. So these cameras have already exceeded my expectations of what they were going to be able to do. So we look forward to the successes of those cameras. So I look forward to reporting back to City Council at a later date with more success on it.
Great.
So I just wanted to let you know about that.
Thank you.
Good evening. Just wanted to provide a brief update about our rail to trail. We did an audit of the trees on the rail to trail, and believe it or not, on the rail to trail, there's 1,471 trees that are alive. We did find that there's 119 trees that are dead, either from disease or broken irrigation, whatever the issue may be. We did get some exciting news just recently. We spread the word to Tree Fresno and some other entities that we were in need of some trees, hoping to get them for free. Kings Canyon Unified School District donated 66 trees to the city of Reedley.
Good.
So accompanied with that, we did meet with Tree Fresno, and Tree Fresno has a grant opportunity that looks, I'm going to just label it as really promising for the city of Reedley, to fund the irrigation for those trees.
Oh,
wow. So out of the 119 dead trees that we have, it looks like we're on a great path to perhaps replacing all of them if we can get a couple extra trees from Tree Fresno through this grant as well. So we're pretty excited about that. Moving forward. Of course, there won't be planting until the spring. We don't want the trees to freeze as soon as we plant them. But
Russ, the irrigation from, you say, Tree Fresno?
A grant that Tree Fresno is going to help us apply for.
Okay. Correct. Okay. 1,471 total trees?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. So is that going to help from the Dinuba Avenue over there to Button Willow?
That is correct. The entire rail to trail was audited. All of the trees.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to fix that part.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good.
Just finally, final reminder, kind of the fall cleanup event that's going to happen this Saturday. It starts at 7 a.m. It goes to 2:30 p.m., and just, you can bring, they'll take everything, mattresses, e-waste, tires. There's a limit on tires, but everything except for household hazardous waste you can take to this event. So it's a great event. I did want to remind council that it also includes some compost. We're going to have each event, we're going to add almost double the amount to see how fast that will go and kind of gauge how much we need to have at each event. So we're going to have 100 tons of compost. It is first come, first serve, or until supplies last. And if that goes quickly, at our next event, we'll have even more. So
that's this Saturday?
This Saturday, correct.
And yes. just a push for that compost, yeah. It's the best stuff.
Oh, good.
Really? Great.
For your plants.
I have
stuff that's actually living because of that stuff.
Oh, is that the compost from the new recycling effort?
Yeah.
It is, okay. Yeah. Right. The food waste that leaves the city of Reedley gets composted, and then the state did require us to buy it back. So we're kind of paying for it to leave, and we're paying for it to come back. But we are going to offer that at no cost to our residents at these cleanup events.
It's good stuff.
How are residents taking it home? Do they bring their truck and then fill the truck up?
Yes. So when they bring their truck loaded with trash or a trailer loaded with trash, when they unload it first, the compost is kind of at the end as they're exiting. They did have some shovels available. I'm sure they will again.
It's not bagged?
It's not bagged. I think
they gave us bags.
Yes,
to
they
put
have
it in,
bags
we had
available.
To bag it.
Okay. Correct.
You have to do the shoveling.
Correct.
So it's compost. Is the name like Layton something?
No, it's Kerman's Best.
It's Kerman's Best. Kerman's
Why
Best.
Is that? You know?
Yes.
Their facilities in Kerman. Their facilities in Kerman.
In fact, they did do a presentation, they being Mid-Valley. There's a YouTube video, a very short one, about their composting facility that shows how our waste goes through their facility and becomes compost. If you're ever interested, we can forward you a link. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Great.
Thanks,
yeah, I'm glad that Reedley's Best is better than compost.
I want to let you all know, about a year ago, we were awarded a Sustainable Communities grant for the to prepare an active transportation and parkway master plan for the city of Reedley. So we, after Caltrans took a while to get that process going and we got a consultant on board, we have now started to meet, and we're going to be creating a project advisory group to hopefully get members of the community involved and kind of help with alignment and whatnot and recommendations, since, you know, they're here and Parkway, they use it all the time. And so I'll be sending out an email for you all to see if you guys want a representative to be a part of this group. Ultimately, you'll be voting on it at the end. So we won't have you on there, but if you have a representative you would like to be on there to discuss or put input on the parkway, that would be great. We're also going to have a booth out on the tree lighting, so the consultant and I'll be out there. So have some maps up and get early participation, hopefully. So
good. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good evening again for the last time. Exciting news from the fire department. Myself and Battalion Chief Watson will be traveling to Sioux Falls, South Dakota next week to do a final inspection on our new fire pumper.
Oh, yeah.
So that's exciting for the city, and we look forward to seeing it and getting it here. And it will be replacing a 23-year-old pumper that we have right now. Mm-hmm. So
you'll drive it back?
It will be coming back. The manufacturer will have it driven out to California.
To
it will go to our warranty center in Modesto for prep before it's delivered. So
is that soon? Do you know?
What's that?
Is that soon? When do you
We don't know. We'll find out this coming week, depending on what still needs to be done with the unit. So.
Are you going to keep the older vehicle, or are you going to sell it?
It's probably going to be surpliced. Yeah, we'll keep some equipment off of it and put it on the new rig, but the engine will be surplus. It's just kind of ran its, you know, lifetime.
Is it the same company that built that magnificent fire truck that I saw in the Fiesta in the parade?
If you're talking about the ladder truck, yes, it's the same company, same manufacturer.
I've never seen anything so beautiful.
It'll look very similar.
Incredible. For a little town like this to have such a magnificent piece of equipment.
Right. Yeah, so.
That's because we have all volunteers.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And specifically, when that $1 million vehicle came in, we had the most modern piece of firefighting equipment in Central Valley.
Yeah.
So something to be proud of.
It is. Mm-hmm.
The new pumper
we're
obtaining is what will be one of two that are in the state that has a certain technology built into it that manages the pumping system on it. So it'll be very unique and very technological and easy to operate.
So people are going to want to borrow it, rent it out, huh?
Well, I hope not. I think they're just like our ladder truck. When it came to Reedley, we had a lot of different departments throughout the state of California come and look at it.
Mm-hmm. Like the
and
water
so they've
tender.
We've been a very good sales rep for the company. So
maybe they'll cut us a deal next time, Paul.
Yeah.
Actually, I think we did get some dollars off because he was able to finagle a payment in advance and get a few dollars off. Council,
I have one more question I forgot. The library.
Yes, ma'am.
The prints that you sent us, is that going to be the permanent one?
Those are being sent around for any final comments, but our understanding is they would like to move ahead with those that design.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yes, it's much so nice. Different than the first renderings that we saw.
Maybe a difference of opinion. On
No?
It's too modern. It's,
oh, yeah.
It is. It's like that's commercial. Really simple, you know. It's
so,
too modern for me.
So, yes, those are intended to be the final renderings, and they have been working with us on realignment of our memorial fountain area. I don't remember what we call it, but
yes.
It'll ultimately be incorporated into their design.
Maybe it's generational, right?
Because I know they've been
for the next
50
years,
right. and they sent it back, and so I was curious to find out how they felt about, because I just, it's just too modern. It's just for our town, I think. That was my opinion.
And Mayor, that was all for staff, but I do want to remind you, once we adjourn this meeting, we do need to go into that special meeting for just that one singular item. Thank you.
Can I add one more,
Sure.
Mayor? Sure. Since you brought up Russ, no comment. I really just kind of wanted to say it again. I think we talked about it last time too, but the importance of the lighting on the rails and trails, changing out the old ones on the main part and then east of south of Dinuba.
Dinuba Avenue.
Adding lighting. I don't imagine like a grant from for irrigation would help cover that, but who knows? If it could, then let's go for it.
Are you comfortable me sharing the data you gave me today? So yesterday and today, we replaced and fixed 29 lights on the rail trailway. So you will find it much lighter tonight. And then we do have a grant application in place for lighting the rest of the trail, Dinuba to Button Willow.
Ooh, yeah.
It's roughly $250,000 project. If that grant is successful, which we have our fingers crossed, then we will obviously use a grant funds. If not, we have a secondary backup funding source that we anticipate using from the ARPA dollars. So it is our desire to light that trail.
Yeah. $250,000 project, though. East
just
of,
to light
Dinuba.
The
from Dinuba
to Button Willow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's dark. Thank you.
It's expensive. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else, Council? Okay. I'm going to
say happy Thanksgiving to everybody, because we're not going to meet anymore, huh?
Well, we have one more meeting yet tonight.
Oh,
okay. Okay, so we're going to adjourn this meeting. We're going to let her say it at the end of our next meeting. Okay, so we're adjourning this regular meeting.